Weekly Spooky is brought to you by our generous supporters on Patreon. Get access to exclusive podcasts, videos, and more for as little as $1 a month when you go to weeklyspooky.com and click on the Patreon link. Your support has gotten us to 100 episodes, so join up today and help us create another 100 and beyond. Head over to weeklyspooky.com and join the Patreon.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Oh my goodness, my friends. It is Wednesday, and you know what that means? It's time for a little bit of spooky for your weekly. And I am, of course, your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and this is the 101st episode. And I'm still amazed we're here. I hope you guys all enjoyed the two-part episode 100 we had the last 2 weeks. I enjoyed it doing it, but also I very much enjoyed the 2 weeks I got to take off because I did do 100 episodes in a row, and I sorely needed just a little bit of time away, but now I'm back and I am ready for action. And I want to mention, speaking of ready for action, that if you head to weeklyspooky.com, we have a brand new store. Just click on the button that says store. We have brand new t-shirts, hoodies, coffee mugs, posters, and so much more. And if you buy any of them to enjoy this spooky season coming right up, it helps us keep the show going, as well as backing us on Patreon, sending us a tip, or any number of things. But that's not what we're here to talk about right now. What we're here to talk about is the fact that today, September 22nd, is the first day of fall. And you know what fall means? It means Halloween is coming right up. So next week, a week early, we're going to begin our Halloween Tales of Terror. So every week you'll have a brand new terror tale taking place on Halloween to get you in the spirit, if you will. But for today, we have a really eerie piece of monstrous fiction to get you in a loving mindset, because you know, the fact is, love is almost never perfect. Love means many things, but I guess the big one that people are always selling is love means never having to say you're sorry. And in this story, that definitely goes to the extreme. So let's listen now, and I'll talk to you afterward.
Boy Meets Ghoul by Rob Fields.
Christian Schaefer was having lunch with his friends outside at Clancy's, a popular fast food place among North Ridgeway High School students. The four of them were on the football team, talking about whatever. Then, the subject of Christian's upcoming date came up. "Hey, how come you're not telling us who you got a date for Saturday night?" Eric Danvers asked. "How come we gotta hear about these things from Chelsea?" Christian groaned. "Why does my little sister always have to be such a pain?" "So about this date of yours," Matthew Martinson inquired. Jeffrey Moose Keegan put his hands up to his pecs and pretended to squeeze. "Does she have tits?" he rumbled. Christian groaned again. "Man, Moose, you may be the biggest guy on our football team, but you got the dirtiest mind, too." Moose grinned mischievously. "Hey, a girl's gotta have tits, brother. That's just the way us men are. The bigger, the better." "You do realize you're probably going to die alone, right?" Christian asked, half serious. Moose reached out and playfully shoved Christian's shoulder. "Come on, bro. Quit holding out here. Who is she? What's she like?" He grinned mischievously again. "And does she have tits?" When Christian realized his football brothers weren't going to back off, he finally conceded. "Fine, fine, you bastards. Her name is Chloe Ann Carmichael. I met her when we had our game with Strickfield High here a few weeks ago." "Whoa, dude, you're really going out with a chick from Strickfield?" Eric asked. "Isn't that like, I don't know, dating the enemy or something?" Christian pointed to him. "It ain't no different than that cheerleader you're seeing from Pendleton High." Eric raised his hand up in front of him. "Okay, okay." Christian continued. "So, we just beat Strickfield High and finished our showers. I was all set to get in my car and head out. Then I saw this other car with the hood up, and a girl underneath it. I went over to help her, then she came out from under the hood and looked at me. I swear, she looks like she's right out of the 50s. I mean, she's wearing a red and white polka dot dress that goes down just past her knees. She's even wearing those black and white shoes, you know, like with the black across the middle." He pointed to Matthew. "Your older sister has shoes like that." "Yeah, she does, except Bethany's into the 60s, Matthew shared. "Okay, go on." Christian pointed quickly at Matthew. "And she looks exactly like Betty, from those Betty and Veronica comics your sister always reads." Moose shot up out of his seat. "Oh, come on! What, you think we're stupid or something? There ain't no girl who looks like she's right out of..." But Christian shut up when he brought up her picture on his smartphone and let everybody look at it for a moment. "Now do you believe me?" "Damn, she really does look like Betty," Matthew agreed. "Wait till Bethany hears about this." Moose leaned in. "This is just her face. Does she have tits?" Christian groaned. "Okay, Moose. Yes, okay. She's a girl and girls have tits, okay?" Moose grinned. "But are they big ones?" Christian gave him the finger, getting a laugh from everybody. Then he got back to the subject. "Anyway, she had a loose wire under the hood. I fixed it for her, then we got to talking for a while. We got each other's phone numbers, and we started texting and video chatting. Now, we got a date for Saturday night. I'm gonna pick her up at her place. She lives in the woods with her family just outside Strickfield." Then, everybody just looked at Christian. Christian just looked at everybody in return. "What? Man, you got your head up your ass or something?" Eric asked. "Don't you know there are stories about those backwoods of Strickfield? You don't want to be heading in there, especially at night." Christian groaned. "Seriously, what's there to be scared of in those woods? I mean, come on, Strickfield's own mayor lives in those woods. He still makes it to work every day, right?" Matthew pointed at him. "But there have been stories about things that have happened in those woods. Stories about people dying out there. And even a few of them coming back to life. And then there are the stories about creatures lurking around in there. And even cannibals. There are just stories on top of stories." Eric pointed to Christian's smartphone. "You should just text her and cancel, or have her meet you somewhere." Christian groaned again. "Come on, you guys, really? All those stories are just superstitious horseshit. I'm going on my date with Chloe Ann Carmichael on Saturday. End of discussion." Almost nobody said much of anything after Christian's declaration. Even when they finished their lunches and headed back to North Ridgeway High for their afternoon classes. Christian was driving through the woods on Saturday night and following the directions that his smartphone's GPS was giving him. Christian did have to admit these woods near Strickfield did look quite spooky and seemed to stretch on for miles and miles. Or maybe it was just the consistent fog that had a foreboding presence seemingly everywhere. Still, he was willing to suffer a few heebie-jeebies to get to Chloe Ann Carmichael's house.
"Prepare to turn left on Township Road 34 in 1/4 mile.
Christian gasped and pointed a shaky finger at his smartphone. Then he shook his head, slowly. He couldn't believe how he'd let his football brothers get to him. This wasn't Halloween, for crying out loud. This was a date with a really hot girl who just happened to look like a hot classic female comic book character. Still, he kept his head on and made the turn when his GPS told him to. It wasn't much longer after that when he finally reached his destination. Christian just sat in the car when he saw the Carmichael farmhouse. There were barely any lights on inside, and the fog really seemed murky and dismal around the farmhouse and huge yard. He even saw some cars that had been gathered near the barn. He started to wonder if anyone was even home. He was almost wondering if maybe he should turn the car around and head back to North Ridgeway. Suddenly, the porch room at the front entrance came ablaze with light, and then the door opened. Christian felt his spirits lift when he saw Chloe Ann Carmichael step outside. He got out of the car and went to meet her. "Chloe Ann, hi," Christian said. "I hope I'm not late. It's a bit foggy out here." Christian thought Chloe Ann was truly breathtaking. She was wearing the very same red dress with white polka dots and those same shoes from the night he had first met her. She wore her blonde hair down, the last time she wore it in a ponytail. For a brief moment, he remembered Moose talking about tits and noticed that Chloe Ann's weren't too badly stacked. Chloe Ann pointed to the car. "Could you shut that off for a smidgen? My parents want to meet you." "Uh-oh," Christian uttered jokingly. Chloe Ann smiled. "Oh, ain't nothing weird. They just want to know who I'm going out with tonight," she sighed. "They want to know who they gotta shoot if and you don't bring me back home on time." When Christian looked at her with wide eyes, she burst out laughing. "I'm just kidding, silly. My parents still want to meet you, though." Christian obeyed Chloe Ann and was soon in the living room where the rest of the Carmichael family was seated. Her parents were in recliners and a young girl sat on the couch. Mr. Carmichael gestured to the couch. "Have a seat, son." As soon as both he and Chloe Ann were seated, Mr. Carmichael spoke to Christian again. "Look, I don't know what your intentions are with my eldest daughter here, but I'm gonna trust her decision on you." Christian quickly raised his hands up in front of him. "Sir, I just want to take Chloe Ann out on a date. I'll have her back whenever you say she's got to be back. Seriously, I really like her and I just want to get to know her. That's all." Both parents studied him for a moment. Even the youngest daughter, Hannah, just gave him an odd look. Also, he didn't want to let his football brothers get the best of him, but he could swear that they were all a little pale. Even Chloe Ann. Again, he was not going to let the guys get to him about the backwoods of Strictfield legends. Mr. Carmichael seemed to consider Christian. "Okay, again, I trust my baby girl here. Chloe Ann's old enough to know what she's doing. She seems to be real into you, too." Then he said to Chloe Ann, "You sure he's a what you want, darling?" Chloe Ann smiled from ear to ear. "Oh, I do. I do, I do, I do." Mr. Carmichael clapped his hands together once. "Okay then, you youngins have yourselves a good time tonight." What time do you want me to bring her back, sir?" Christian asked. Mr. Carmichael just looked at him and smiled. "I really do appreciate you calling me sir. Yes, I do." Then he seemed to think. "Well, now I'd say that'd be up to the both of you, 'cause I get a feeling you're really gonna get to know my baby girl real well, real soon." He waved them off. "Out you go. Have fun." Christian wondered what he might have gotten himself into, but he quickly drove that thought out of his head when he felt Chloe Ann taking his hand. "Let's go, honey." The two of them were about to leave the house. Then Chloe Ann stopped him. "Hey, you know what? I almost forgot. Wait right here." Chloe Ann turned and went into the kitchen. She returned with a large picnic basket. I was thinking we can have ourselves a little picnic, you and me. I even know this romantic little spot that'll just set the mood. It ain't far from here. Christian smiled. Let's go. Christian couldn't believe he was having a picnic dinner with Chloe Ann, in the heart of a swamp. Still, the fire circle that Chloe Ann set up and lit seemed to give it more of a romantic ambience, even with the fog. The swamp was quiet for the most part. It didn't even bother Christian that he hadn't heard a single cricket chirping or even a bird fluttering. It was just the two of them with their picnic dinner and their conversation. The two of them hadn't touched their food yet. Actually, they had been talking for a little while now. Christian realized that he was really into Chloe Ann. He wasn't caring so much that she was a backwoods girl. He even seemed to be mesmerized by her hazel eyes that glowed next to their fire. Then it happened. Chloe Ann suddenly leaned in and caught Christian with a peck on the lips. Then the peck turned into another, and another, and then into a full-blown make-out session. Chloe Ann was on top of him as they held each other. Christian had been with other girls in the past, but none of them were taking his breath away the way Chloe Ann Carmichael was. If anything, her body felt like a perfect fit in his arms. The two of them made out for quite a while, almost never stopping to catch a breath. Chloe Ann's kisses were both hungry and needy. Christian wondered how far things would go with Chloe Ann. And then, Christian got his answer. He was still flat on his back when Chloe Ann stood up. To his surprise, she unzipped the back of her dress and let it fall. He gasped to see that she was quite naked. For a brief moment, Moose came back into his mind again. Yes, Chloe Ann most certainly had tits. Chloe Ann knelt down and helped him out of his varsity jacket. Come on, honey. It ain't like you didn't want to go this far with me. But your parents, he sputtered, ain't gonna care one way or another, she finished. Christian was powerless to resist Chloe Ann and allowed her to help him get naked with her. They were holding each other again before Chloe Ann took charge and initiated their intimacy. The two of them shared intimacy again and again. Chloe Ann just couldn't seem to get enough. Her skin felt so soft, yet unbelievably cool. And they were right next to the fire. The last thing Christian remembered before he fell asleep was holding Chloe Ann in his arms. Christian woke up quickly and realized two things. The first was that it was morning. The second was that he was in an unfamiliar bedroom. Then he looked down to see Chloe Ann was sleeping soundly next to him and wearing only an oversized blouse, loosely buttoned. He wondered how the two of them had moved from the swamp into her bed. Suddenly, Christian felt his stomach growling like he'd never felt it growl before. He groaned and wrapped his arms around his midsection. Then Chloe Ann woke up. Christian, we never ate your picnic last night, he joked. I'm just feeling really hungry. Chloe Ann quickly moved over him and got out of bed. Then she grabbed his hand. Come on with me, right now. Okay, okay. He got up and let Chloe Ann escort him through the house into the kitchen. Chloe Ann opened the refrigerator door and pulled something out. A human forearm and hand. Eat this, right now. Christian shrieked. What the fuck? He wondered what the joke was, but Chloe Ann didn't look like she was joking. I mean it. Christian, y'all need to eat this right now. Well, we can go out for breakfast, he stammered. Chloe Ann shook her head slowly. We can't eat that shit. We means you too now, honey. Christian's stomach tightened so hard and made him groan in such agonizing pain that he actually found himself accepting her offering and biting deep into the forearm. He was surprised at how delicious it really tasted. He kept eating hungrily. Then he saw Chloe Ann pulling out another forearm and joining him. When he'd finished eating his portion, Chloe Ann immediately took his hand. She led him down into the cellar and to a walk-in refrigerator. She brought him inside and handed Christian a whole human leg. "Y'all gotta keep eating, honey," she said. "You gotta eat until you're full, what with it being your first time and all." As the two of them sat and continued to eat, Christian felt the need to ask, "What's going on here, Chloe Ann? Why are we doing this?" "I thought you'd never ask." She took a last bite off the leg she was feasting on. "You're just like me now." She dropped the bones and took both his hands into hers. "You're with me now, Christian. You're part of the family now." When Christian's unfinished leg had fallen to the floor, Chloe Ann quickly picked it up and handed it back to him. "Sorry, honey. Keep eating." As much as Christian wanted to put what he was eating down, he found himself obeying Chloe Ann. He had gone through almost an entire human body before finally he was full. Chloe Ann herself didn't have to eat nearly as much. Christian looked to her to finish her explanation. "Like I told you, Christian, you're just like me now," she told him. "Like I said, you're part of my family now." Christian looked dumbfounded. Chloe Ann was patient. "Oh, I get it. You don't know everything. Well, I'm going to teach you all you need to know." Are we zombies?" Christian choked out. Chloe Ann smirked a little and shook her head. "Close, honey. We're like zombies in many ways, but what we are is ghouls. We gotta feed on humans to survive. Keyword, survive. See, if and we don't eat when we gotta eat, then we're real zombies, as in you'll waste away until you fall apart and there ain't no going back." Christian just looked at Chloe Ann. Then he groaned as he got up and ran up the stairs. He turned to the back door and ran outside. Chloe Ann chased after him. They both ran away from the house. Much to his surprise, he was running faster than he'd ever ran in his life. What was more, Chloe Ann could run even faster than him and eventually tackled him near the edge of the swamp. "Get off me!" Christian shouted. Chloe Ann wouldn't move. In fact, she grabbed his arms and pinned him down. "Now y'all listen to me, honey. You and me, we're both ghouls. You belong with me now. I made you." Christian went limp. "You... what?" Then his eyes were opened wide when he saw how close her exposed cleavage was to his face. "You become a ghoul in one of two ways. One, like me, you're born as one." "That's right. I've been a ghoul since coming out of Mama." "The second way," Christian caught on fast. "When we had sex?" "Oh, I loved you real good," she confirmed. "I could have probably bit you, but it's got to be done in just the right place and makes a real mess. I ain't real good at doing that, so it was just easier for me to just love you good and turn you. Besides, you know you loved it." Chloe Ann got off Christian and let him stand up. Then he groaned. "You fucked me and turned me into a zombie?" She laughed. "No, a ghoul." Then she sighed patiently. Daddy said it was gonna be tough teaching you, but I gotta do it. Cause I made you, and you're just like me now. Christian listened as Chloe Ann explained things. For one thing, ghouls didn't shamble like zombies. They could walk and run. In fact, ghouls could be civilized and live almost normal lives. The Carmichaels remained in isolation and only took living humans who dared to venture into the backwoods of Strickfield, which seemed quite plentiful. As far as the humans who already lived there, they were left alone because the wrong people might ask questions and possibly come in to investigate. Chloe Ann also explained that ghouls were like their vampire cousins in many ways. While vampires drank blood to sustain themselves, ghouls needed to eat human flesh. Chloe Ann removed her oversized blouse. Christian was again shocked to see her naked. Chloe Ann rolled her eyes. "We gotta take a bath and clean up after we ate good and done run out here. Now come on with me." Again, he obeyed her and got naked. Chloe Ann laughed a little when she saw that he clearly desired her again. "Well, okay, honey. We can play for a smidgen." She picked up her blouse and pulled out a few condoms. "Y'all better use these, unless you want to make a little baby ghoulie with me." Christian accepted the condoms from her and put one on before he went into the water with Chloe Ann. They had finished cleaning up and having sex when they came out of the water. As soon as they finished putting on what clothes they had, they heard a loud gunshot. "Aw, foo," Chloe Ann muttered. "I'm thinking that Strickfield mayor done seen us. We better run, honey." Another gunshot whizzed right past Christian, almost touching his nose. "Shit!" Christian turned and ran off. Chloe Ann knew she needed to go after him. It wasn't too long after that the mayor of Strickfield, Patrick Gunter, stepped out of the shadows. He tightened his jaw and grunted. "Goddamn zombies on my property again." He readied his rifle again and moved along. Chloe Ann called out to Christian to stop, but he was too scared to listen to reason. Again, she proved to be his superior by catching up to him and tackling him. "Stop, Christian!" Christian finally stopped. He was really angry now. "Why? Why, Chloe Ann? Why would you do this to me? Did I piss you off or something?" Christian wanted to heave in anger, but he realized he no longer breathed. His anger turned to sadness. "I was a really good football player at North Ridgeway High. I think I even had a good shot at a full ride to college. I had my whole life ahead of me." He looked at her. "I suppose you've heard this before." She shook her head. "Nope. I don't go around making other ghouls the way I made you. We'd have a real mess, and Daddy would be none too happy." "Then why me, Chloe Ann?" Chloe Ann just simply smiled, took firm hold of his face, and kissed his lips softly. Christian couldn't help easing his arms around her and kissing her back. They kissed passionately for a long while. When they came apart, they looked into each other's eyes. "Now you understand, Christian?" Chloe asked. "Y'all came to me when I needed help that night. You talked and kept talking with me. You made me love you. You did. I told Daddy I wanted you and why. He gave me his blessing. We did some loving with each other and I turned you. Now you're with me forever and ever. Like marriage. In fact, you and me, we're married now." She raised her finger. "Ghoul law. But we don't really know each other that well to be married." Christian pointed out. Chloe Ann kissed his lips again. We've been man and wife twice now, honey, and it feels to me like you want to be man and wife again. Face it, Christian. You ain't leaving me. Ain't making no threat here. You'll stay here with me, 'cause you wanna. Christian gave Chloe Ann that look that told her she was probably right. After all, how many of his past girlfriends had treated him the same way Chloe Ann had? True, they weren't ghouls, but this particular ghoul had feelings and knew what she wanted out of life. Or was it the afterlife? He would have many years to figure that one out, wouldn't he? Suddenly, the two of them heard another gunshot. Christian felt the bullet go right to the back of his head. He even saw it go through Chloe Ann. "It's that dang mayor again," Chloe Ann complained. She quickly grabbed hold of Christian's hand. "We gotta run, honey. Snap out of it, dang it." She only needed to slap the back of his head hard to bring him back to reality. Christian shrieked repeatedly, "I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this." He ran away from Chloe Ann in a general direction. He heard another gunshot, which completely closed out anything that Chloe Ann was yelling his way right then and there. "I'm getting the hell out of here and heading back home. I ain't staying here. The others were right. I never should have come out here." He was so frightened that he couldn't stop running. He even managed to lose Chloe Ann this time. He made it back to her farmhouse and found his car right where he'd left it. He jumped into the car to find the keys were still in the ignition. He fired up the motor and got the hell out of there as fast as he could, and without killing anybody along the way with his crazy driving. Christian pulled in at his house and went to go inside. His mother was busy at the stove and cooking barbecue chicken, his favorite. The only problem was that he really wasn't wanting it. He wanted it, yes, but his stomach was telling him a big fat hell no. After having a brief argument with his mom about the way he was dressed, he went straight up to his room and put on some fresh clothes. Then he went back out and went behind the garage. It was then when he smelled something sweet, like candy. It wasn't long before he found that he had a visitor. At first, he thought Chloe Ann had finally caught up with him. But instead, "Moose? What's up?" Christian asked. "Just in the neighborhood, man. Smelled your mom was cooking barbecue chicken again," he replied in his growling voice. "Well, go on inside and go have some," he invited. How could Moose even smell his mom's barbecue when all he could smell was sweet candy? Moose was about to turn away to take him up on his offer, but then he remembered. "Hey, bro, how'd that date go with that Chloe Ann chick? I'm surprised you made it back from those fucking woods." Before he could answer, he gave him a brotherly tap on his shoulder. "And does she have tits?" Christian really wasn't sure how to answer him. The problem was that, no, he hadn't made it out of those backwoods. At least not as himself. He was a ghoul now, turned by Chloe Ann. He'd had incredible sex with that amazing girl. Now, he was a ghoul just like her as a result of, what, some sort of VD that she'd passed to him? Then he'd taken that bullet to the head, and that sweet smell of candy was getting really strong now. "Wait a minute, Moose, do I look okay to you?" Christian asked. Moose looked at him like he was crazy. "Well, you kinda look a little pale, but..." He made a Neanderthal grin and pointed right at Christian. "Oh, ho, ho, you fucked her, didn't you? You fucked her. Come on, bro, tell me, was she good, and does she have tits?" Then Moose felt a soft tapping on his shoulder. They both turned to see Chloe Ann Carmichael standing before them. She smiled simply and said to Moose, "Oh, I got me tits, sugar." Chloe Ann leapt onto Moose and took a big bite out of his neck. She had her hand on his mouth to muffle his screams. When Moose fell onto his back, Christian knelt down beside Chloe Ann and began to eat with her. Moose was definitely big enough to satisfy the both of them. Christian's parents never set foot outside or came out behind the garage. That night, Chloe Ann came in through the front door holding Christian's hand. "Oh, Mama, Daddy, we're home," she called out. "In here, kids," Mrs. Carmichael called back. "Dinner's ready." The two of them found the rest of the family in the dining room. There was a naked couple tied to the table.
"Aw, y'all didn't have to wait none for us," Chloe Ann said softly.
"We eat as a family, Chloe Ann," Mr. Carmichael reminded her. Then he said to Christian, "That goes for you too, son, now that you're part of the family." When Christian realized that Chloe Ann had easily found him, he knew there was no point in resisting her or what he now was. When he'd asked his new wife how she'd found him, she simply told him, "Why, silly, I could have found you any one of two ways. The easy way would have been to look in your wallet since you left it behind. But I'm a ghoul, honey, and you're my man. I made you so naturally, I can smell you. Don't matter none where you are in the world. And I know y'all could smell me coming for you. Face it, honey. It's you and me, together forever to the end." Christian realized that being with Chloe Ann wasn't as bad as it seemed. He was part of a family that truly cared for its own. He'd been shot in the head and was still alive. Chloe Ann explained that he could have had his brains blown out, but he would have lived as long as he would have been fed or given human blood to help in the regeneration process. In the beginning, he felt bad for the people he would have to eat in order to sustain himself. But he was a ghoul, and that was his new afterlife now. Christian and Chloe Ann stayed on at the farm. He even took her last name. Over time, he would come to learn from the Carmichaels that nothing was more important than family, even if you are ghouls. And as for the mayor of Strictfield, Patrick Gunter, he still didn't like the idea of zombies coming onto his property. Doesn't that just warm the cockles of your heart knowing that true love is a, well, I guess you can't say alive and well, can you? Another great story by our very talented contributor, Rob Fields, and another trip to the outskirts of the mysterious Strictfield, Ohio. I have to say, real quick, thank you all so very, very much. The two-part episode 100 went over massively well. Lots and lots of downloads, lots of new listeners coming in as fall approaches and spooky season is about to be in full tilt. So welcome. If you're new to the show, please make sure to subscribe and leave a little review. Also, never hesitate to send me an email at weeklyspooky@gmail.com. Tell me what you're enjoying about the show, and I'll be sure to read and respond to everything I get. So next week, we'll be beginning six, count them, six, Tales of Terror related to Halloween. Now, you may be thinking, there are only 5 weeks coming up until October's over. Well, Weekly Spooky always has an extra episode on Halloween Day, and this year will be no different because, of course, Halloween Day was the day we launched the show to begin with. So we gotta celebrate our anniversary, obviously. Speaking of celebration, our Patreon has just hit the most backers ever in our history, and I can't thank you enough because it's what really allows me to take the time to bring you a spooky piece every single Wednesday, and I intend to not miss any Wednesdays in the near future. I mean, I've already set 100 as a precedent, so why not? So, speaking of which, I want to say a big thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, Gino Lyons, Michael aka Charm, Karen We Met, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, Rob Fields, and Kevin Fry. Head over to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon to join them. But anyway, I've got to get out of here. I'll see you next week. For myself, for my producer Dan Wilder, and for my composer Ray Mattis, I will talk at you later.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.